Hosea. Chapter 1 now. Verse 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. For the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim. I've entitled this message, Gomer. Gomer. Now, as we read in chapter 3, Gomer has hit the bottom. She is standing on an auction block, naked, before a crowd of people to be sold as a slave. In those days when slaves were sold, they were naked so the buyer could see what he was getting. And there were no bidders. A female slave was sold for 30 pieces of silver, and there were no bidders. She didn't appear to be worth that much. No one would give the price of a female slave. Her name, Gomer, comes from the Hebrew verb, which means to reach the end, to fail, to cease. She had reached the end. Utter failure. Her life had been spiraling downwards, and now she's reached the bottom. On an auction block, being sold as a slave, and no one was interested. Somebody tells Hosea, your wife is on the auction block. Hosea hadn't seen her in a long time. You see, she left him. She deserted him. She was a woman of whoredoms, the scripture says. She was unfaithful to him. And the scripture speaks of her having many lovers. And someone tells Hosea, that woman that you were married to, that left you, she is on the auction block. This adulterous, immoral, and all the while a religious woman, those things really don't go into conflict. False religion. And here's where it has brought her. Sold. On the auction block. Up for sale. A slave to sin. Now that is exactly what Paul spoke of in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, when he said, we know. Who knows? We do. All believers. All whom God has revealed himself to. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. Sold. And the word means sold as a slave, just like Gomer was. sold as a slave to sin. She's still Hosea's wife, though. Hosea never quit being her husband. As unfaithful as she was, Hosea never stopped loving her. Verse 1 of chapter 3, I've already read these words. Let's read them again. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman. Beloved of her friend, that's talking about her adulterous relationships. She's still in these. Beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me. This is speaking of Gomer when she was on the auction block to be sold as a slave. I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver. She couldn't get the 30 that was commanded to be the price of a female Hebrew slave. She couldn't come up with that. Evidently, she was not desirable to anyone, but she was to Hosea. And he pays 15 pieces of silver for her and an omer of barley and a half an omer of barley, a little bit of food. And I said unto her, this woman who has been so unfaithful, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. God commands Hosea again. Love this woman. Hosea's name is the name Joshua. Jesus. What a type of Christ Hosea is here. Now turn back to Hosea chapter 1. Verse 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. And here's why: for the land, the people of Israel, hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. God selected Hosea a wife. That's the way the Father selected a bride for His Son in eternal election. God selected a wife for Hosea. And He says, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms. What? Really? Yes. God made that command. You go and take a wife of whoredoms. Verse 3. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. Now notice it says she bare him a son. We're going to read of a daughter and a son a few verses down. It does not say that she bore them to him, but she bore children. And these are the children of these adulterous relationships she would have. But at this time she conceived and bare him a son, and the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel. For yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. This is what I'm going to do, and this is what this pictures. And it shall come to pass of that day that I'll break the bow of Israel. That's their military power in the valley of Jezreel. Verse 6, and she conceived again. Doesn't say she conceived to him. It says she conceived again. And bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I'll utterly take them away. Call her no mercy. And when Paul quotes this in Romans chapter 9, he says, call her not loved. What a name! Come here, not loved. I bet she had issues. He says in verse 7, but I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, not the house of Israel, but the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will save them, will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. I'm going to do it myself. Verse 8, now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived to bear a son. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ammi, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Now here's another interesting name. You're not my people. These two kids, not loved, not my people. Those are the names that God told him to name these children. Verse 10, yet the number, these people who are not loved, not shown mercy, not his people, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea. These people who are not loved and not shown mercy and not his people. These very same people shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you're not my people, there shall it be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. And Paul quotes that in Romans chapter 9, we're going to come to that toward the end of this message. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Now some time passes, and this is Hosea speaking to Jezreel. He's not speaking to these children that were born of adultery. But he says to Jezreel, you go to your half-brother and your half-sister and say this to them. Say unto your brethren, and their names are changed. Ammi, and to your sister Ruhamah. You know what that means? You are my people. You are loved. Oh, their name has changed. And the only way you and I will be saved is if our name is changed. You remember when the Lord wrestled with Jacob? He said, what's your name? Jacob. Cheat. Deceiver. Sinful man. And the Lord said, you're not going to be called Jacob anymore. your name is now Israel, a prince with God. These peoples, these two children, their name is changed to my people and beloved. He says to these children, plead, verse 2, with your mother, plead, for she's not my wife, neither am I her husband. He's talking about the way she is living as an adulteress, going after her many lovers. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts. You see, Hosea loved this woman, and yet she's conducting herself like this. He never stopped loving her. Now he's brokenhearted. He says, tell her I'm not her husband and she's not my wife. But he remained her husband. And she remained his wife. And he says, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born and make her as a wilderness and set her like a dry land and slay her with thirst. And I'll not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother, speaking of Gomer, this woman the Lord told him to marry, and he was in love with her. And yet, how broken he is over the way she's treating him. For their mother hath played the harlot. She hath conceived them, hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, multiple lovers. Could it have been that she really was a prostitute? I believe she was. I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water and my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. They supply my every need, these lovers that I have. I suppose that she would wake up in the morning and she would find her wool and her flax and her food, and she thought, these lovers have supplied this for me. But you know, she did not know that it was Hosea that was supplying this all along through her adulterous relationships. Hosea evidently would go there at night before she woke up, and he would put her supplies there because he loved this woman. She didn't know it. Let's read Hosea's language in verse 6. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I'll go return to my first husband. For then it was better with me than now. Now, not I'm going to return to him because I love him. Not I'm going to return to him because I've wronged him. No, it was better for me back then. I had plenty to eat then. Things are not going good right now, so I'll go back to Hosea. Verse 8, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they had prepared for Baal. She didn't know that all this time it was me that was supplying everything for her. Verse 9, therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. And I'll cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. See, she was very religious throughout all this. He says, I'm going to cause it all to cease. I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she has said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I'll make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I'll visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them. Oh, she was very religious in all her immorality. And she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers. And forget me, saith the Lord. Gomer is me and you. Amen? Gomer is me and you. Somebody says, well, I'm Hosea. No, you're not. No, you're not. Me and you are Gomer. Verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably to her. What a word. I will allure her. I'm going to make her interested. I'm going to make it to where she is attracted to what I am saying. As the, I don't know which, it's the pickup truck right outside. If somebody can. Okay, it's over. It's good. It's all good. That was alluring. I'll speak comfortably to her. I'm going to speak to her heart. Now, she's going to find out what I say is attractive and enticing. That is what Hosea is going to be to Gomer. That is what the Lord is going to be to his people. I'm going to speak comfortably. What's he say? Well, I'm going to be bringing the same message of comfort that Isaiah brought to the children of Israel. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Don't tell her what she must do to make this right. Nothing like that. Now, that's what I do. Now, for you to come back to me, here's the rules. What does the Lord say? Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. Not that it will be if, but it is. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Instead of being condemned, she's justified in my sight. And he doesn't give her anything she first had to do. He speaks comfort to her heart. Verse 15, chapter 2. I will give unto her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor, the valley of trouble, is going to turn into a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the days when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shall call me no more Bailey. You're going to call me husband, not master. You see, this is now a relationship of love and not of law. Law never produces love. It produces resentment. It produces guilt. It produces fear. But it never produces love. He says, you're not going to call me master anymore, the law that makes me. No, you're going to call me husband. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall not even be remembered by their name. I'm going to be such to her, she's not even going to remember the significance of this. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, with the creeping things of the ground. And I'll break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. That's another way of saying all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I'm going to make everything work for them. And look at this, verse 19. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. And look at this marriage. It's going to be in righteousness, in judgment, in loving kindness, in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. Now let me tell you something about this marriage. He says it's done in righteousness. Absolute, perfect righteousness. There's nothing unclean about this. This is altogether righteousness, and the reason is because of judgment. Now that's talking about the judgment of the cross. The Lord made a way for him to be just and justify people like Gomer. Unfaithful, adulterous people. He made the way to righteously receive them. You see, here's what my Redeemer did. He made me righteous. All that stuff about Gomer was true, but the Lord made it not to be in judgment, the judgment of the cross. And that's how she is now righteous. And in loving kindness and mercies. Oh, the loving kindness of our Redeemer and the mercy of our God. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. Faithful to the covenant. And here's what's going to happen. Thou shalt know the Lord. Isn't that what salvation is? To know him. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And I will sow her, and the earth shall hear, verse 22, the corn, the wine, the oil, they shall hear Jezreel, and I'll sow her unto me in the earth, and I'll have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. Now this is quoted by Paul in Romans chapter 9, a very important verse. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But look in chapter 3. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman that's still in these adulterous relationships, beloved of her friend. Love her anyway, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wines. Now, during this time, somebody tells Hosea about Gomer on the auction block. This is where her life had come. The monies she thought she was getting from her lovers has been cut off. She's all by herself. I don't know if there were chains on her. Could have been. But here she is standing naked in shame and humiliation and degradation, all brought on by her own personal sin and wickedness. It was all her fault. And there she is. And nobody will bid for her. She wasn't worth the 30 pieces of silver. Somebody says, Hosea, Gomer is being sold as a slave. And Gomer never stopped loving her. Isn't that glorious? The everlasting love of the Lord to his people. He said, so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for an omer of barley and a half omer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 9. This is what the Holy Spirit intended to use this glorious story for. Romans chapter 9. Look in verse 25. As he saith also in Hosea, O see, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you're not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Now, we can't really understand much about this unless we see what's said in the context. Now, I'm going to read from Romans chapter 9, and I'm not going to make much comment on it until we get to verse 22, but this actually begins in verse 6 of Romans chapter 9. It's not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, Israelites, physical Jews, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children, these twins, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder Esau shall serve the younger Jacob, as it's written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Those are God's words. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Is God being unfair in loving Jacob and hating Esau? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Next time somebody talks about free will, read this verse and ask them what it means. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardens. Thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? If he hardens my heart, how can he hold me responsible? He's the one who hardened my heart. How can he judge me and send me to hell if he's the one who hardened my heart? Nay, but O man, verse 20, who art thou that repliest against God? Since when do you have the moral authority to sit in judgment on God and say, I don't agree with this? You don't have a place. For you to sit in judgment, for me to sit in judgment on God, disagree with God, is the basest hypocrisy imaginable. Hath not, verse 21, the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory? Now here we read of vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. May I say this? If you've got a problem with this, you've got a problem. This is who God is. This is God being God. And whatever he does is right, glorious, just, holy, and true. There are vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and there are vessels of mercy afore prepared unto glory. Well, who are these vessels of mercy which are afore prepared into glory? Verse 24, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he said in Hosea. Now here's where he gets to Hosea. As he said in Hosea, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not my beloved. This is what we are by nature, not his people, not beloved. This is what we are by grace, his people and beloved. Verse 26, it shall come to pass that in the place, this is from Hosea again, in the place where it was said unto them, you're not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where? That's a place. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In that, are you a place where sin abounds? Are you? Sin comes out of your pores? No, I'm not. Good for you. No grace for you, though. The place where grace abounds is where sin abounds. Verse 26, it shall come to pass that in the very place where it was said unto them, you're not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant, a small number, shall be saved. For he, the Lord Jesus Christ, will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. In those 33 years he lived, which is a short period, he accomplished salvation. Verse 29, and Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we'd been a Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. The only difference between us and Sodom and Gomorrah is his grace. What shall we say then? What are we going to conclude from all this? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, they could care less about righteousness, they could care less about a relationship with God. It wasn't even on the radar. They didn't care.
They were happy without him.
Those are the people that obtained the righteousness. Even the righteousness, which is of faith. But Israel, which followed, which pursued after the law of righteousness, they wanted to be righteous. They wanted to be righteous before God, and they pursued it. They didn't attain to it. How come? Verse 32. Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it's written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Now the stumbling stone is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You mean to tell me that somebody like Gomer can be saved and stand in glory, redeemed, simply because of what Christ did for her, and it has nothing to do with anything she did? That's exactly what that means. Why, that's offensive. That's scandalous. As wicked as she is, as immoral as she is, and you're going to tell me she's going to be in heaven just because of what Christ did for her and no other reason? That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what God is saying. Somebody says, that's scandalous. That's scandalous. Why, that'll promote sin. That'll promote to say somebody doesn't have to do anything to be saved. That here she is so immoral, and yet she's going to be saved simply because of what Christ did for her. That's scandalous. I only know of one greater scandal. That I'd be saved and stand amongst the redeemed with Sister Gomer. Whosoever, is that you? Are you a whosoever? Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. First of all, they won't be put to shame because there's nothing to be ashamed of. Jesus Christ has put away to my sin till I stand before God absolutely without guilt. There's nothing to be ashamed of. I've got no sin. And I'm sure not ashamed of the gospel. I love the gospel that makes it to where I have nothing to be ashamed of. Gomer, she's hit the bottom. And from the bottom, Joshua, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, buys her to Himself and says, you're for me. And I'm for you. That is grace. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank You that we realize that by nature, we could not be Your people or Your beloved, but by Your grace, You've made us Your people and Your beloved. And Lord, we find that we're just like Gomer, as hopeless, helpless, and low as Gomer. But how we thank You that You saved Gomers. Lord, make us all Gomers, that we may be saved by Your grace. Lord, we're so, have such a tendency to look to ourselves and our righteousness. Lord, teach us that we're nothing more than Gomers with nothing but what you do for us. Bless this message for your glory and for our good. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen.